going to be a continuation of last week's shiur. However, as luck would have it, the shiur is going to incorporate the Parshat HaShavua, Parshat Vayeshev, I mean real luck, in addition to incorporating Chanukah. And let me tell you in advance that what I'm going to say today will be in the main based on a statement of Rav Soloveitchik, and what I seem to feel is elaboration of Rav Soloveitchik, though he didn't intend it that way, a mimer, a very powerful essay by Rav Yitzchak Hutner, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, and I say that because it just occurred to me that tonight is his yahrzeit, tomorrow is the yahrzeit for Rav Hutner. So it's going to be based on a Pachad Yitzchak and a number of other things. One other note of caution in advance, that whatever I say this morning is by way of thinking out loud. I may be trying to find or trying to make some sense of what's happening around us, but I make absolutely no claim to know, in fact, why. I'm only going to be presenting possibilities that are food for thought. So therefore, if there is something that I say that might get some of you upset, and I'm not sure that I will, just don't start out with me. I'm just throwing out ideas. Now, the basic idea that we, I believe that we sort of demonstrated quite clearly last week, is the difference between Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael in Chutz Laretz. Strength, might, power is something that the Jewish people can exercise only within the boundaries of biblical Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, the same strong, mighty Jew becomes weak and frightened, and we demonstrated this with Abraham in Mitzrayim and Abraham in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov in his confrontation with Laban, which takes place in Chutz Laretz, and then Yaakov in his confrontation with Esau, which takes place in Eretz Yisrael. It's a completely different Yaakov. We demonstrated how Shimon and Levi are able, as youngsters, teenagers, are able to massacre a city in Eretz Yisrael, and then when they stand before Tzafnat Paneach in Mitzrayim, they are no longer the same Shimon and Levi. We demonstrated it in the Gemara as well, where the Gemara tells us the different readings of a pasuk in Amos. In Chutz Laretz and Bavel, they read the pasuk Notla, she has fallen, lo tosif kum, and she will not rise again. And Bemarov in Eretz Yisrael, that pasuk in Amos was read as Notla, she has fallen, lo tosif, she's not going to fall again. Kum betulat Yisrael, arise. There's a strength, there's a might, there's a power that Klal Yisrael has in Eretz Yisrael and doesn't have it in Chutz Laretz. And we also pointed out the difference between the Medrash Rabbah, which was written in Eretz Yisrael, the Rashi of Medrash Rabbah in Eretz Yisrael, and Talmud Bavli Shalonu, who are the strong brothers. In order to sort of complete that, on your sheets in front of me, I'd like to take a look at number one. We didn't learn number one last week. Number one is a Mishnah in Avos. Not only is it a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it happens to be an unusual and an exceptional kind of Mishnah. There is no other Mishnah like it. Doesn't that sound familiar? Am I not always saying something like that? But you'll see it's true. You'll see it's absolutely true. The Mishnah says, Yehuda ben Tema, Omer Yehuda ben Tema says, Hevi az kenomer, you should be... Azov, it doesn't really mean strong. You should have determination, like a leopard. The Kal Kanesher, light, swift-footed, flying like the eagle. Rotz Katzvi, running like the deer. Gibor Kari, and mighty like the lion. La'asot Ritzon Avicha Sheva Shamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. By the way, it is this statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema which opens the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Orachayim begins with the statement of Yehuda ben Tema, because it begins with the halachas of getting up in the morning, and you have to get up in the morning with a sense of tremendous purpose and goal and objective and strength. Who are Yahomer? He said, Az Panim Legehenim, Ubosh Panim Legan Eden. In a sense, he said, in order to explain, when he said Az Kenomer can be understood as Azus, Chutzpah. So you should know that Chutzpah is positive and negative. There's an Az Panim, a person who's just all Chutzpah, and no redeeming features at all, that person goes to Gehenim. Ubosh Panim, a person who has a sense of shame, goes to Gan Eden. But there are times at which you have to have what's called Azut de Kedusha, holy chutzpah. Holy chutzpah means that nothing is going to stop me from doing what I have to do. If I'm in the middle of, Grand Central Station and I didn't daven mincha, you just stand there and you daven mincha. That's all. That's it. That's an Azus of Kedusha. Or I remember what, in those days it was something, it was on Chanukah and I was on a flight from Eretz Yisrael to America, and we were held up someplace in Europe, and I don't know, I put together a few candles and lit Chanukah menorah in the airport, and everybody's looking at these crazy Jews. I got the whole plane together and we all had Merry Chanukah. All right. Now listen to the end of the Mishnah. Yehi ratzon milfanecha, may it be your will, Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, God our God, the God of our fathers, sheyibane bet hamikdash b'mehera b'yameinu, that the bet hamikdash shall be built speedily in our days, v'tein chalkeinu b'toratecha, and give us a share in your Torah. The perush that I'm going to bring here is from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. This is the most unusual Mishnah in all of Mishnayot. All of a sudden, slam bang, in the middle of a Mishnah, there's a prayer. There is no other Mishnah that has a prayer in the middle. What's this Yehi Ratzon doing in the middle of a Mishnah? If you'll take let's begin to read. Rabbi Yaakov, Zehamamar, this statement, Tzoveach Vaomer, cries out and says, Darsheni, learn me. What is a request and a supplication doing in the Mishnah? Shalom atzinu dugmato. We don't find anything like it in all of Shas. And even more so, it seems that it has absolutely no kesher, no bond. It's totally unrelated to what was said before. It has absolutely nothing to do with what was said earlier. Umativo kam be'emet. What is the nature of this prayer here? Be'emet pele gadolhu. It's really a great wonder. V'hayoteh nifla. What's even more wondrous? Echam uforshim shetarchu kama pa'amim b'pitumei mila. How the commentators, those who explained the Mishnah, they troubled with themselves with all sorts of words. B'harvei mekamot ha'bilti tzrichim b'yur. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, by the way, was one of these sharp-tongued people, brilliant. So he sort of attacks his fellow commentators on the Mishnah and says that in all sorts of other places in Mishnah where it wasn't really necessary to delve so deeply into it, they write volumes. And here is a Mishnah that cries out for explanation and they didn't say anything. It says, "Baharbe mekomot habilti tzrichim biur," in many places that don't need really any kind of explanation. Why here do they remain silent and they don't say anything? I in my poverty, this is something important that you can't leave it without explanation. I see, I placed paid attention to this. This tefillah is going back to what he said earlier. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamid begins the Mishnah by saying you have to be tough like a leopard. The achshav begalutenu batal mimenu ha'oz v'ha'atzma. Now that we are in exile, we don't have the strength and we don't have the might. V'nitel ha'lein v'amtso, the heart and its courage has been taken from us. Ki hamakom gorein, because the place makes the difference.
Isn't that really what I wanted to prove in last week's shiur? The same person. In one place he conducts himself in one way, and in another way, ki hamakom golem, because the place is that which makes a difference. Kain ish no deid mimakomo, so to a man who wanders from his place, hagola, the person who's in exile, libo bal imo, he doesn't have, his heart is not with him, he doesn't have the same kind of courage and strength. Ukidiitok abisabi de beatuna, chosid mianu aitomi afrayu shodi alayu. We don't have to go into this. We can go beyond that space over there at the end of the line. Be'eretz moladeto shel adam, a man's birthplace, chozer umaknelo midat hazut. A man's birthplace gives back to him this mita of being tough and strong. Two lines down, which means like this: we have to remember that if in a in terms of ourselves we may have been born elsewhere, but as Shai Agnon said, I was born in Yerushalayim and I come from Puchach. He was born in Puchach, but he said as far as he was concerned every Jew was born in Eretz Yisrael, born in Yerushalayim. So he said, I was born in Yerushalayim but I come from Puchach. So what the Rabbi Yankov Emden is saying is there is the birthplace of the Jewish people, which is Eretz Yisrael, and that gives us strength. Lakach bikesh, therefore he asks in this Mishnah, Yehi ratzon shetivne eicha, may it be your will that you build your city. V'toshuv lanu midat azut hanitzrechet. You know what this this tefillah, this prayer at the end of the Mishnah is? Since Yehuda ben Tam at the beginning of the Mishnah said that you should be tough and you should be strong like a leopard, so he says, Yehi ratzon ufanecha rebeini shalelam, may it be your will that you build your city. And if you build your city, we're coming back. And when we come back, we're going to regain and recapture the strength and the might of the leopard. The toshuv lanu midat azut hanitzrechet, and then they will return to us that measure of toughness that is necessary. B'shleimut, completely. Ach yesh lachosh ten yetzei schoro behefseda. But now if we're going to get that azut back, now azut can turn into azus panim. So you know what you need? You need the modifying factor of Torah. That's why it says, v'tein chokenu b'toratecha. We want azus, but we want that azus should be used in right measure, at the right place, and that can only be if the azus is guided and modified by Torah. Therefore, Ach yesh lachosh, he says, we have to be afraid. Pen yetzei schoro behefseda, the value, the benefit of azus is going to be lost because of the of azus that's used in the wrong way. Shekarev lehefsed b'mida zu machmas shemuchanim yosel lechato. On the contrary, the mida of azus can more often be used in a negative way. Mitoch ha'azut kemo she'ida b'yot Yisrael alav matan. He says, Jews, when they lived in earlier years back in Eretz Yisrael, the Azus passed the point of being positive and became a negative factor. There was a certain chutzpah that they felt because of their wealth and their strength and their might. It can always lead a person to do the wrong thing. And their Azus, the chutzpah became something which was a stumbling block. Lahois peneim klapeh mala. They used their chutzpah against God. And therefore, Amar Akav, that's why he says, V'ten kolkenu b'toratecha. Give us a shear in your Torah. V'tzon olam ahadei barosa Torah tavlin. You created Torah, which is the spice or the antidote for chutzpah. That the chutzpah should remain chutzpah de kedusha, the chutzpah of sanctity. Hadei barosa Torah tavlin lahatish kar houses, to weaken the power of Azaz Shadam, lishbor libam. Okay. So basically, that's really all we have to know over here. So he has, number one, he has explained to us a Mishnah, a fascinating Mishnah. What is this prayer doing in the middle of the Mishnah? So he says, because since Yehuda ben Tamar talked about the strength and the might of the Jewish people, which we no longer have, why don't we have it any longer? Because the only place we have it is in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Laretz. The same Jew of Eretz Yisrael who's mighty and strong is not that same Jew in Chutz Laretz. So therefore we pray, first of all, the Beit Hashem, build your city, which means the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. And once we have the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to get that chutzpah back. But the chutzpah has to be tempered and modified. I remember my first college class in education. It was a graduate school, so the professor, a priest, asked, "How do you define education? Isn't that the way all college classes are supposed to begin? Define your terms. Define it." Okay. So the guys in the class, we work about half an hour until we arrive. You know, you can't simply say something like, you know, knowledge or education. What's knowledge? Yeah, what's education? You're not learning. No, we're not. So we jointly arrived at a definition that education is the acquisition of knowledge. How does that sound? Pretty fancy? Yeah. Right. And this was after a great deal of debate in the class, the acquisition of knowledge. So this priest, professor, zaps the whole bunch of us and he says, "Nah. The acquisition of knowledge that leads to the modification of behavior. Just to achieve and amass knowledge is meaningless. That knowledge has to have a modifying effect on one's behavior. If it's not going to affect behavior, it's valueless. It's useless." And we all sat there ashamed and embarrassed before the professor. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden is saying. You should build your house, build your city, and we should return. But we need something that's going to modify our behavior. The Azus will return, but it has to be Tein Chalkeinu v'Torah Pecha, so that Torah will mold, shape, form, and modify our behavior. Okay, so I think we've taken care of that. Hamakom Goden. Geography makes the difference in how the Jew sees himself and in how he acts. Geography makes a difference. And it really means, therefore, that, for example, the perception that American Jewry may have of great strength, I don't believe that it's really true. Even those who walk the halls of power have this feeling over there. Maybe they're trying to make up in one way or another for the fact that they're Jewish so that nobody should really suspect them of being partial toward Jews or toward Israel. So it's a weakness. That's a weakness. In other words, if a Kissinger would have gotten up and said, "These are my people and I'm going to make sure that they're going to have strength and security," first of all, the whole world would have gone crazy. And second, he might have accomplished something, but no, he worked toward the weakening of Eretz Yisrael, just as others are doing it, because they're really afraid. All right, I'm becoming amateur psychologist, but so what? Everybody does it. Why shouldn't I do it? All right. Now we're moving ahead. On the left-hand side of the page is a piece that I took out from Rav Soloveitchik Al Hatshuva. And he wants to define, and it's necessary for the shiur that he said, it was important for him to define what is a korban tzibur. A korban tzibur means a sacrifice that's brought by the community. And he wants to differentiate between a korban tzibur and a korban hashutvim. I'll explain exactly what that means. A korban hashutvin is the following: if two people get together and we jointly buy a korban, so it's a sacrifice brought by partners. And if 1,000 people get together and buy a korban, so 1,000 people. He says mistakenly, people refer to korban pesach, the paschal lamb, as a korban tzibur, because a communal korban, because everybody brings it. But it isn't a communal carbon. It is a carbon of each yachid, not each individual, but there may be many individuals who are part of this carbon. The Rambam, he brings, says that what happens if all of Israel jointly would donate to bring a carbon? Every Jew donates. That carbon would not be a carbon tzibur, it's not a carbon of the community, it is a carbon of partners. In this case, all of Israel happened to be partners, but that does not turn the carbon into something called carbon tzibur. Now, let's read. Nikar Dugma Acheret, top of the page. Let's take another example. Sha'afi Kruya Betod Korban Tzibur, that is also by mistake called a communal sacrifice. It's not at all a communal carbon. Who? Carbon Pesach. The Paschal Lamb. Labitoshal Dovar, in fact, Eino Elo Carbon Yachid, is really the sacrifice of an individual. The only thing is that at the same time it is brought by all of Israel, but that does not give it the title Carbon Tzibur. Aval Uvda Zu, this fact, Eino Soto Carbon Tzibur, doesn't make it a Carbon Tzibur. Carbon tzibur nilkach mitrumat halishkav ha'balim shelo einam hayichidim. A carbon tzibur is that which money comes from the Beth HaMikdash and the owners are not individuals. Va'filu yichidim ele kol mekol Yisrael, even if these individuals include all of Israel. Ele ishiyot achat yichida shanu korim la Knesset Yisrael. The Rav establishes the following principle, that there is a unit called Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. The Jewish people is not the sum total of each individual Jew, 1 plus 1 plus 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1 would mean partners. But there is a metaphysic reality called Knesset Yisrael. There is a unit called the Jewish people. Now, if you want to understand what this means, so we're going to go a little further. He says, Dvarim Eile Amurim, these things are said, lo rak benogea le korban, not only with regard to a sacrifice, elogam benogea, also with regard to the following Gemara. The Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael muhzeket hi biyadenu me'avotenu. Eretz Yisrael is ours from our fathers. We own it. We own it. So the Rav wants to know, what does it mean that the Jewish people owns Eretz Yisrael? Does it mean each person has a piece of the rock? And if you put us all together, so all of us together own Eretz Yisrael? Says no. Ha'im peyush ha'davar ki l'chol Yehudi chelek b'shutfus al ha'baylus l'Eretz Yisrael? Does it mean that every Jew has a share in the partnership as an owner of Eretz Yisrael? No. Eretz Yisrael einah shayechet l'chol Yehudi v'Yehudi l'chud. Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to each and every Jew singly. Ela l'klal Yisrael k'chativa achat. Eretz Yisrael belongs to a unit called Klal Yisrael, one unit, Yehudit v'atzmit, unique and special. B'chalukat ha'aretz al yadei Yehoshua ben Nun, when Yehoshua ben Nun divided the land, so what he did was, he took that which belonged to this entity called Klal Yisrael, and he gave ownership to various families. B'chalukat ha'aretz al yedei Yehoshua ben Nun, when Yehoshua ben Nun divided the land, who avru zechuyot ba'alim, the rights of ownership went from the klal kulo, from the whole community, l'shvatim ha'yechidim, to the individual tribes. Kinyan ha'klal, that which belonged to the community, who avar az al yedei ha'chalukat l'kinyan prati, was then transferred to private ownership. Let us call Yehoshua dividing the land the privatization of Eretz Yisrael. It belonged to this corporation called Knesset Yisrael, and from the corporation it was privatized and given to individuals. The Gamachshav of Avo Kodem Achaluka, before Yehoshua divided the land, the Gamachshav Kasher Chalukat Haaretz L'Shvatim Einak Kiyamet, nowadays, that we don't have a division of the land according to tribes. Hare aschut shel Yehudim l'Eretz Yisrael eina balat ofi prati yechidi. The rights that Jews have to Eretz Yisrael is not something of an individual nature. Ele hizchuto shel Klal Yisrael. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. Li atzmi kiprat, me as an individual, ein li kol tviya o zechut al aretz. I have no claim or no right to the land. Zechuti ha'ishit, listen carefully, my personal right, novat mikach shani chelek mikneset Yisrael v'chaver ba. My right to Eretz Yisrael is because I'm a member of the community of Israel. I'm a member of the community of Israel. The kiman shaharet shayechet l'kneset Yisrael, since the land belongs to Knesset Yisrael, harehi shayechet gam li, so it also belongs to me. Hakinyan she Yehudi v'Eretz Yisrael, the ownership of a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, ein al cheskat yachid, it's not something that the individual holds, el cheskat haklal. It belongs to the cloud. Yehudi be'eretz Yisrael cheskatah shel Knesset Yisrael ki ishiyut metaphysic. There is Knesset Yisrael, which is a metaphysical entity. Onlam lekol echad miitanu zchut le'eretz Yisrael. Every one of us has a share in Eretz Yisrael. Avol zchut zu ba'ar v'rak. This is the sentence that I've learned many times in the past and shakes me up. And it's upon this that we're going to elaborate. He says, "Avol zchut zu, this right, or this privilege, the privilege that I have, that I own a share of Eretz Yisrael, that I own something there, ba ach v'rak, comes only as a result mitoch hit haydavkut achad mashmayit b'Knesset Yisrael." It comes only as a result of an unflinching and an unfailing relationship to Knesset Yisrael. Mitoch ha-hizdahut ha-maleya in Knesset Yisrael comes as a result of complete and total identity with that metaphysical unit called Knesset Yisrael. Ki ishiyut pratit, I as an individual, klusha mi-Knesset Yisrael, if there is an individual who is separated, distanced from Knesset Yisrael, he does not identify with Knesset Yisrael, only Yehudi Zkuyot b'Eretz Yisrael. That Jew does not have a share in Eretz Yisrael. If a Jew does not identify fully with this entity called Knesset Yisrael, Rav says he has no share in Eretz Yisrael. Finished. Alright? That's as far as we have to go in the Rav. Now let's turn over the page. All right. I always know in the rush to get things done. So I left out the Rambam, which I have a whole bunch of Rambams there, but not the one on which the Shir is based. So I'll read it to you. It's a simple Rambam. Rambam says the following. The Bayit Sheni, during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash, this is not on your sheet, during the second Beit HaMikdash, Kishemolcho Yovan, when Greece ruled over Eretz Yisrael, Gozru Gzeirot al Yisrael, they decreed all sorts of terrible decrees against the Jewish people, until Govra Malchud Beit Chashmonoi, until the kingdom of the house of Chashmonoi waxed stronger over them. And that was on Chaf Hei Kislev, the 25th day of Kislev, and they came into the Beit HaMikdash and they purified it and they made a Chanukat HaBayit. Mipnei Zeh Hitkinu Chachomim Sheba'oto Ador, the Rambam says, therefore that the wise men of that generation made a takana, that these 8 days of dedication that were done by the Chashmonaim should be days of joy, simcha v'halel, umadlikin behem neidot, and you light candles. Further, the Rambam says over there, and this is an extremely important part of what the Rambam has to say, that when the Chashmonaim came into the Beit HaMikdash and they recaptured the Beit HaMikdash, Chozra HaMalchut LiYisrael Yeter Amatayim Shana. Malchut returned to Israel, kingdom, royalty. What it really means is independence returned to the Jewish people for over 200 years. Chozra HaMalchut LiYisrael Yeter Amatayim Shana. How does the Rambam know this? The Gemara doesn't really say that. So Rav Hutna says that obviously the Rambam had to know this because the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that tells us the story of Hanukkah says Ukishen Govra Malchud Beit Chashmonai, when the kingdom of the house of Chashmonai overpowered the Greeks. Now the fact is, historically, and this is terribly important, historically they didn't establish a kingdom until 25, 30 or more years later. In other words, kingdom and independence came much after the time of Hanukkah. But we celebrate it because this was the step that brought ultimately to independence. And I believe also because the Hashmonaim understood that without independence they would never be able to serve God as they wished to. If they were only going to be an autonomous part of the an autonomous province of the great Greek Empire, they would never be able to be masters of their own destiny. And they knew, therefore, that the struggle that they set out upon must ultimately end with independence, because only by independence would they be free to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. Now, let's see a few, some of the things that I have here on the page. Let's take a look at number 5. I'm not going to go in order. Number 5, right-hand side of the page. Left-hand side of the page. I always think everything is right. So. Well, there's a Rashi like that, and of all things, it's a Rashi. The pasuk that the Gemara is going to talk about right now is a pasuk in Oz Yosher. The other side. Left-hand side of the page. It happens to be a pasuk in the Shira. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem in Oz Yosher. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem. Ad Yavar Amzu Kanita. So there in the Shira, it says, Yemincha Hashem Nedori Bakoach. Your right-hand God will be glorious with strength. Yemincha Hashem, your right hand is going to crush the enemy. I mean, this I'm only saying parenthetically. I just remind myself of that. So Rashi says over there, why does it say twice about God, Yemincha Hashem, your right hand, O God? So Rashi says, it's because even the left hand of God becomes the right. That his left hand is going to be as mighty as his right. His left will become right. Halavai, of uns gesagt, that the left become right. Okay, so therefore I said when I told you originally to look at the left hand of the page, it's because my left is also right. But technically, it's on the left hand side of the page. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar. The pasuk says over there the following. We say it in Oz Yosher every day, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, until your people, God, will cross. Ad Yavar, until Amzu Konito, this people that you have acquired, are going to cross. What does the crossing mean? It means crossing into Eretz Yisrael. And it says twice, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Konita, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu in Oz Yosher is referring to two entries of the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem is Biyarishon, the first time they came in the days of Yoshua. Ad Yavar Amzu Konita, until this people whom you have acquired will cross over, is referring to the second time that they came in the days of Ezra. Now what's fascinating, of course, is, I believe this comment is made by the Meshech Chochmah, in the first half of the pasuk, the name of God is used, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, until your people, God, until your people Israel cross. The second part of the pasuk, Ad Yavar Amzu Konita, the name of God is not used. Why? Because when they entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra, God's presence was so clear. The Jordan splits, Jews cross on dry land, the walls of Jericho come tumbling. Yeshua. You know that I always get these things mixed up, and it's good that you're listening to me. In Yehoshua, at the time of the crossing into Eretz Yisrael, the days of Yeshua, God was clearly there. They saw him. It was with great miracles. In the days of Ezra, when Jews returned in the days of Ezra, it was a meager trickle of people who began to rebuild the country. Says the Gemara in Sota, it's also a Gemara in Brachos, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem Zu Biyarishonah. The psukim, the pasuk that says, until your people God cross Zu Biyarishonah, this is the first entry into Eretz Yisrael. Ad Yavar Amzu Kanita, the rest of the pasuk that says, until this people whom you have acquired will cross, Zu Biyashniah, this is the second arrival in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra. And Mor Me Ata, from here, you know what you have to say from this pasuk? You know what this pasuk is telling us? This pasuk is telling us that there really is an equation between the second entry and the first entry. And Reuyin Hoyu Yisrael Lasot Lehem Nes. Israel were worthy that a miracle should be done for them when they came the second time, the Bi'a Shniya, Kibi'a Rishana. It should have been with great miracles, the second time as the first. Eloshet Goram Hachet. Sin caused that it didn't happen that way. What the sin was, that's open to all sorts of interpretation. The sin may very well have been simply the fact that only a trickle of Jews came back. The majority of Jews remained in Chutzlarts. If they would have entered Eretz Yisrael the second time, as they did in the days of Yoshua, which was Klal Yisrael en masse, all Jews crossed into Eretz Yisrael, miracles would have been done for them as well. So why should those who come suffer? So it's not a matter that those who come suffer. It simply is a matter, and this is something that I was saving for the end of the year, and I'll say it now, and I said it some months ago. This is going to be one of the approaches, because what's the question that we ended with last week that we're going to be grappling with this week? And I already see that I'll never finish it this week either. But it's an ongoing problem that we're grappling with. If Jews in Eretz Yisrael are supposed to be strong, why is the perception now different? What's happening now? There is no longer this perception that the mighty, strong, and powerful people, we are on the run on all fronts. On all fronts. So what happened to my great Avraham 1 and Avraham 2 and Yaakov 1 and Yaakov 2, Shimon Velevi 1 and Shimon Velevi 2, what happened to it all? What happened to that perception? So one is, and I said it, Sophie will remember, I said it a few months ago, Chatzi Haaretz L'Chatzi Ha'am. Maybe God is saying that, listen, for half the people, you get half the land. I gave you an advance on the land in 1967 in the hope that this would inspire the rest of Klal Yisrael to come. You didn't come, so you don't need the whole country. You don't need the whole country, so I'll take it back. And maybe the Rebbe is saying to himself, you know what? I think I'm going to take Netanyahu's tack. You know what? You come a little bit, you get a little bit. 10,000 Jews will come, so you need another piece of land. Okay, we'll give you another few hundred dunam. Another 10,000 Jews will come. You'll get another little bit. Right? Maybe that's what's happening. And the perception of strength is directly related to the extent to which we demonstrate that we want the Eretz Yisrael. The days of Ezra, they had no strength. They had no strength. They were not a mighty people in the days of Ezra. You know when they became a mighty people? They became a mighty people in the days of the Chashmonaim. That's when they became mighty. It's 150 years later. But that's not the whole story. Don't push me yet. Let's go step by step by step. Says Rav Huthna that in the Gemara here is making an equation. The equation is the second entry into Eretz Yisrael equals the first entry into Eretz Yisrael. It could have been miraculous, but it wasn't miraculous because God hates the sin. And we're saying at least that the sin might very well have been the fact that here were prophets telling them to come. Not emissaries of the Jewish agency. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were telling them to come, and they didn't come. They didn't come. Says Rav Huthna the following, that in the first entry to Eretz Yisrael, there was another ingredient. It was not only the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, but the first entry to Eretz Yisrael, they entered B'yad Ramah. Yad Ramah means with strength, with might. They were a conquering people that came into Eretz Yisrael. Conquering people. When it says that the equation was not complete, that the second entry into Eretz Yisrael, could have been equal to the first, it doesn't mean that it never happened. except that the second entry into Eretz Yisrael became like the first over a period of about 200 years. You had to wait till the time of Chashmonaim, and at the time of Chanukah and the Chashmonaim, then you know what came to the fore? What came to the fore is the might of the Jewish people. The might of the Jewish people that was demonstrated when they entered in the days of Yoshua immediately took 150 or 200 years during the time of the Second Temple until that might was seen and ultimately Klal Yisrael realized it. Now the two Medrashim, Medrash number 4 on the page and Medrash number 7. In Medrash number 4, 3 lines to the bottom. I don't need the whole Medrash. Oh, you know what? I'm going to read the whole Medrash. I take it back. Number 4, and this is on the right hand side of the page, and it's down at the bottom of the page. Amar Rabbah. This is the first, really, this is where first Rashi in Parashat Vayeshev. That could be this week's Sedra? Yes. Vayeshev Yaakov Bieretz Megudei Avav, Yaakov lived in the land of his fathers. Amar Rabbah, says Rabbah, B'shoah Shatzadikim Yoshim B'shalva, U'mevakshim Leishev B'shalva Ba'olam Azeh, when Tzadikim sit at peace and tranquility and want to live in tranquility in this world, Hasotan Paul Mekatreg, Satan comes and he condemns them and he says, Lo Dayon, it's not enough for them. Shuhu Metukan Lehem Lo Olam Haba, it's not enough that in the world to come, Tzadikim are going to have peace and tranquility. Ela Sheheim Mevakshim, Leishev B'shalva Ba'olam Hazeh, they also want to live in peace and tranquility in this world. Teda Lecho Shehu Kein, proof that it is so. Yaakov Avinu, that's the first pasuk in Parashat Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megudei aviv. Yaakov lived in the land where his fathers had lived. He wanted to live in peace. Nizdavig lo sitno she Yosef, the Satan of Yosef, the terrible tzara descended upon his family. That's Parashat Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov. The Medrash now brings a pasuk in Iyov. Lo shalavti. Lo shakatati, and the fact is the rest of the pasuk, lo shalafti, velo shakatati, velo nachti, vayavo alai roges. Iyov at the beginning of the sefer, after all sorts of terrible things descend upon him, so he says, lo shalafti, I was not tranquil, lo shakatati, I was not at peace, lo nachti, I didn't rest, vayavo alai roges, and then anger came upon me, says the Medrash. Lo shalafti me Esav, I didn't have peace from Esav. Velo shakatati me Lavan, and things had not yet quieted down from Lavan. Velo nachti me Dina, this is going to be important. And I didn't come to rest because I had the tzara of Dina. And all three of them are over, and I think now I'm going to finally sit down and thank God the kids are married, they all have children. They have tents in Eretz Yisrael. You don't need dinners. They have tents, and they have sheep and they have cattle. And you're going to sit back now, and everything is going to be fine. Bo'alai rogzo she Yosef. The anger of Yosef came upon me. I want you to take this medrash and look at it in light of medrash on the left hand side of the page. Medrash says the following: Vayovei Amalek, harehu d'ktiv. This is what it says. The Medrash there uses the same pasuk in Iyov. Lo shalavti, velo shakatati, velo nachti, vayavo roges. Lo shalavti mi bavel. I had not yet achieved the tranquility after Golos Bavel, and it was immediately followed by the exile of Parat. Not quieted down from Madai. Velo nachti mi Yavon, and I was not at peace from Yavon. Vayavo roges be'edon. Came the anger of Edom. Now, for those of you who are learning Daniel, we're going to be elaborating on all of this. These medrashim are based on the dreams of Daniel. There are a number of dreams that Daniel has. We only learned one in our Wednesday morning class. There are another few where Daniel is going to describe the four great kingdoms that are going to enslave the Jewish people.
There are four Malchiyot, there are four great kingdoms. They are Babel, one, Paras Umadai, two, Yavon, Greece, and then Edom, the worst of all. And there is a chapter in Daniel where he describes the four beasts and the most frightening and awesome, striking terror in the heart of Daniel is the fourth beast. The fourth beast is Edom. Edom is, by the Mefarshim and Medrash throughout, refers to the Christian world, the pagan, and then the Christian world. According to many of the Mefarshim, it is the Muslim world from which we are going to suffer till the end of history or the beginning of history. So now, Rav Hutna says the following. First, I want to make the... I don't think I'll have enough time to elaborate on it, but we'll...
I see it clearly as an elaboration. I mean, it's a way of elaborating the words of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said clearly that Eretz Yisrael as a whole belongs to a metaphysical entity called Knesset Yisrael. Now, anyone who fully identifies with that metaphysical entity has a share in Eretz Yisrael. What happens if one rejects that identity? He doesn't have a share in Eretz Yisrael. The step that I'm going to take you is the following. If there are many Jews that reject everything that Yahadut stands for, that means we're a much smaller people than we thought that they were. We are. And therefore, if I said Chatzi Haaretz Lechatzi Ha'am, half the land to half the people, maybe we're less than half the people. Maybe there are Jews amongst us who fight everything that is holy to us. And there is. I didn't think 20 years ago that I would be talking this way, but I am talking that way now. Unfortunately, we have in our midst Jews who reject everything that Yahadut, the Torah, stands for. It becomes a holy war to crush Shabbos. You understand? That's what we were zayecha to. I mean, there are a lot of things. I don't want to talk Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Says Rav Hutna, there is a halachic determination, and I have the Rambam's, you will see, so the Rambam's. There is a kind of Jew who's called Kodesh Midarkei Tzibur, a person who removes himself from the community of Israel. And the Rambam even says in Hilchos Tshuva, even if he didn't do any Avedas, he just wants nothing to do with the Jewish people. He rejects Judaism. He's called one who has separated himself from the Tzibur. If he separated himself from the Tzibur, he has no right to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael, the Rav says, belongs to the entity called Knesset Yisrael. And if you are Mizdaheh, if you identify fully with that entity, with that metaphysical unit, then you have a share in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't identify with it, you don't. So maybe we have less Jews than we thought we had. Take a look at the Rambam 2. Rambam 2 and Rambam 3. On your sheet. A Kodesh Midarkei Tzibur is somebody who separates himself from the ways of the community. Even though he didn't do any Averis. He didn't do any sins. He separates himself from the community of Israel, and he does not do mitzvahs together with them. Their suffering doesn't cause him suffering. He does not fast on their fasts. He doesn't care. He's not part. He has emotionally, psychologically, and in fact, separated himself from the Jewish people. He goes around like he's one of the Goyei Haaretz, as though he's not part of the Jewish people. Has no share in the world to share in the world to come. Now, let me modify and qualify whatever I'm saying. There are two types of Jews who don't perform mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael or throughout the world. There are two kinds. The overwhelming number of them are those who simply never had an education. It's not done out of a sense of rebelliousness. simply didn't have an education. They have the halacha of tinek shenishbal as ha'agoyim, a child who simply was lost amongst the nations of the world. Can't, the Chumashim doesn't have any kindness to them, and we don't have any kindness to them. They're the ones to whom we extend the hand of Chiruv, there's no question. But unfortunately, we know that it does exist within our midst, and it always existed. There exist within our midst those who are lahachas, a rejection, a battle against Yiddishkeit, a battle, a war against Yiddishkeit, an ideological battle against Yiddishkeit. This is already Porish Mitarkik Sibul. This is somebody who's removed himself from the Jewish community. And that exists amongst us. The next halach in the Rambam says, Kol HaPorish Mitarkik Sibul. Vehim Anoshim Sheporku Ol HaMitzos Me'al Tzavoram. All those who separate themselves from the way of the community, and they are people who have removed all hamitzvot, they have removed the yoke of mitzvot, me'al tzavorim, from upon their necks, ve'inichlolim v'chlal Yisrael, and are not part of the Jewish people, v'asiyat hamitzvot, in doing mitzvot, u'bekibud hamo'adot, and in honoring the yomim tovim, v'yeshivat batei knesiyot u'batei medrashot, coming to shul, coming to the Beis Medrash, elehen kibnei chorin la'atzum, these are the words of the Rambam. Great, liberal, open-minded, rational Rambam. They are like free people on their own. We don't mourn about them. The next, don't mourn for them. If somebody of that sort passed away in a family, the halacha is, you don't mourn. Don't ask me any questions. I'm going to read the Rambam. And if you can't digest it now, so hope you can also for now Hashem will that I will be able to understand this Rambam. Elo Acheim Ushar Kroveim, their brothers and their other relatives, Loshin Levonim, they put on white clothing, Umit Atfin Levonim, and cloak themselves in white for Othman, the shells in the snake. Okay. Eat, drink, and make merry. Okay. All right. Rav Hutna says the following. We think, mistakenly, that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is the classic expression of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, accepting upon ourselves the heavenly yoke, we think that the words Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they represent. In other words, Shema Yisrael is the introduction. Hero Israel. God our God, God is one. He says, no, mistake. Shema Yisrael is an integral part of Kabbalah's Ol Malchut Shemayim, accepting the heavenly yoke. Because you know what Shema Yisrael says? I want to identify with the Jewish people. And if I want to identify with the Jewish people, that in and of itself already represents accepting upon oneself Ol Malchut Shemayim. I would say most probably the fellow who knows nothing about Yiddishkeit, but is in the army and does his miluim, is also identifying with Klal Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is an integral part of Kabbalah's Ol Malchut Shemayim. Which brings us to the next very important thing that we have to take a look at. And that's the following. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says the following. We don't have it on our sheet. Al kain he come. Short pasuk. Al kain therefore he come because of their sins. He come. Aryeim yar. The lion of the forest smote them. Ze'ev aravot yishadadein. The wolf of the plains or the arava has robbed them. Nomer. Shokeid aloreim, a leopard upon their cities. Medrash says in a number of places, as we talk in the dreams of Daniel, wild beasts represent those kingdoms that enslaved us. Aryeh Neyar, who was the Aryeh that was Babel? Shayahu talks about Ola Aryeh Misukko, the Aryeh came up from his lair. That's the Aryeh. Parasumadai. According to some of the Midrashim, that's the saying of the wolf. Who's Nomer Shoked Aloreyem? Nomer Shoked Aloreyem, the leopard who's there upon the cities, that is
That is Greece. Really, the point that I want to get to is the following. If we want to understand what's happening in Eretz Yisrael today, you know what we have to understand? We have to understand Hanukkah. Because do you know in what respect Hanukkah is different than all of the other exiles? All of the other exiles were, in fact, when Jews were exiled to Chutzlarts. The only Golus that took place in Eretz Yisrael was Greece. Do you understand what Greece represents? Nomer showcased Alorem, the leopard, who was there upon their cities. Golus in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Greece was all about. Babel sent Jews off into exile outside of Eretz Yisrael. Paras and Madai, Jews were living in 127 states. The only time where you have a Golus in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what I believe we're experiencing now, when a city or a piece of land of Eretz Yisrael is given over to the enemies, that's called Golus in Eretz Yisrael. If Israeli soldiers are beaten in a lynch, and there are cameramen who are able to film every part of it, that's Golus in Eretz Yisrael. The only experience of Golus in Eretz Yisrael is Greece. And therefore, Greece has to be understood. Chanukah represents freeing ourselves from the Golus that took place within the confines of Eretz Yisrael. Now, what happens is the following. We learn two Midrashim that use the Pasuk in Iyov. Lo Sholachti, Velo Shakatati, Velo Nachti, Vayavo Alai Roges. Four parts to the Pasuk. One Midrash says, Sholachti, Shakatati, Nachti, and Roges represent Esav, Lavan, Dina, and then Yosef. The other Medrash says that the same four words refer to Babel, Paras u'Madai, Yavan, and then Edom. Now, which one therefore is Yavan? Lo Nachti. What does Yavan correspond to? Dina. What was Dina? That was Golus in Eretz Yisrael. Esav, Lavan, and Yosef played themselves out in Chutzlarts, not in Eretz Yisrael. Of these four tzavos that Yaakov Avinu suffered, only one of them takes place in Eretz Yisrael, and that's Dina. And you know what Dina is? Dina is the attempt to defile the Jewish people. That's Yavan. But Nomer Shoked Aloreim, the leopard on their cities, where the struggle takes place within the streets of Eretz Yisrael, the highways and the byways. That's what Dina was. And you know what the whole Dina story was? Just the flip side of Yavan. Yavan decreed against Brit Mila. Why did they decree against Brit Mila? Because they wanted Jews to be no different than anybody else. What the people of Shechem did was just the opposite way around, but for the same reason. They're all going to be circumcised so that Jews are no different than them. You know what it says in last week's Sedra? After the story of Dina, HaChizona Yasef HaKotenu, the end of the story of Dina is where the brothers Shimon and Levi say to their father, will our daughter be treated as a harlot? So it says the following, Vayomer Elikim, the very next pasuk is, I'm reading from last week's Sefer by Yishlach, Vayomer Elikim al Yaakov, Elikim said to Yaakov, Kum alei Beitel, v'shev sham, v'asei sham mizbeach. Go up from here to Beitel and make a mizbeach there. Do you know what happens after the destruction of the Shechem? They make a chanukat hamizbeach. Do you see the relationship between Dina and the story of the Greek occupation of Eretz Yisrael? And it ends with a Chanukah HaMizbeach. And therefore it says, afterwards, by Yehi Benosam, as they journeyed, the fear of God was upon them. The fear of God returned to them. which means that the entire story of Hanukkah is the story of Golos that takes place within the confines of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, what's the word that's used to represent Dina and Yavon in the Pasuk in Iyov? Velo Nachti. Because coming to Eretz Yisrael is called finally coming El HaMenucha VeEl HaNachala. And here when I came to the Menucha VeNachla and I thought, oh, here it's already, it's going to be good, we'll be able to settle in, Lo Nachti. Because what came upon me was the terrible tragedy of Dina. So that of all the proverbial or midrashic for Galuyot, there's one Golos that plays itself out in Eretz Yisrael, and that's Golos Yavon. And that Golos Yavon corresponds to Dina. Let me show you a little bit more on our sheet over here. Number 6, and it's fascinating what I have, number 6 from the Shem Mishmuel. I have even more in Or Gedaliahu. The Shem Mishmuel was the Sacher Chavarebbe. He was the son of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of Rav Menachem Mendel Mikotsk. And then what is the Sacher Chavarebbe's Medrash? Here you buy it for that? Yeah, you used to down in the Sacher Chavarebbe. Take a look at the Shem Yishmuel. Soros Yaakov, the troubles of Yaakov Makbilot L'dalet Malkiot, they correspond to the four kingdoms. Golos Babel, Parasumadai, Hoyu Yardov, Belirevach Benatai. Here he says something we have not said yet, very fascinating. Parasumadai, the Golos of Persia and Medes, came immediately after Babel. There was no respite in the middle. When Parasumadai conquered Babel, so Jews found themselves now enslaved to Parasumadai. Esav and Laban followed each other immediately from one day to the next. Overnight, he has the confrontation with Laban, and then he goes straight into the confrontation with Esau. By the way, Golos Babel corresponds to the Tzara of Laban. Why does it correspond to the Tzara of Laban? This is a pasuk that says, "I'm going to send you back where you came from. From where did Avraham emerge? From the land of Babel, from Adam." So now he says, Golos Babel uparas umadai hoyu Yaakov. Believe that, there was no space in the middle. Benatai, who connected them hoyu Yaakov, corresponded to them. Yaakov had the tzor of Laban and the tzor of Esav. Believe that, Benatai, there was no space, pause in the middle. Ukvar he gotnu. And we've already said, Shetzoras Laban hoysedoma legolos Babel, ka'am ramzal. This is what I just told you. The tzor of Laban was similar to the Golos of Babel because it says, Sheshigrom lebeit imam, God sent them off into exile to their mother's home. The Tzor of Esav, the Tzor of Esav, listen to what he says over there. The Tzor of Esav, where Yaakov said in last week, said, Repen Yavo, lest he come, he can he aim al banim, and he will smite me, mother and children. You know what that's similar to? To the Golos of Paras Umadai, the Tzor of Haman, lahashmid lahareg, ulaabed is kol ha-yehudim, minar vatzokin taf v'noshim biyom ekam. That's represented by the Yaakov Esav confrontation, where he says, "Pen Yavo lest he come to he can he aim upon him." Ukemoshe tzoras Esav hoysav pula. And just like the tzora of Esav, this is beautiful what he says. There was a double tzora by Esav, and this we talked about a few years ago. The double tzora by Esav was he was afraid of Esav as foe, and he was even more frightened of Esav as friend. Katsileni no save me miyad achi miyad Esav, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. And which is he more frightened of? He's more frightened of Esav the friend, because Esav the friend can lead to a total assimilation. We're overwhelmed by the bear hug of friendship. So he says, Ovitzoras Esav penyavu ikani ema bonim doma legolos parasumadei, that's similar to the exile of parasumadei, gzeras homen lahashim laharbel abid. Ukemoshe tzoras Esav hoysak pula, just like the tzor of Esav is double. Sheyoter hayarif pachiv mi ha'ag v'shalom, mi asher ha'pachad mi harbo ha'kosha. Just as Yaakov was more frightened of the brotherhood of Esav than he was frightened of the sword of Esav. As our rabbis explained on the pasuk, Hatzileni no miyad achi miyad Esav,
That's exactly what happened in the Golos of Paros Amadai. On the one hand, Jews are invited to the party of Achashverosh, and they are moving in the corridors of power, all friendship, and on the other hand, you have the Gzeh of Haman to destroy utterly the Jewish people. And just like after the exile of Paros Umadai, Nivna Habayit Hasheni, what happened after Paros Umadai? They built the second Beit HaMikdash. V'hoyol Yisrael Manoah. Yisrael had a little bit menucha. They built the walls of Yerushalayim. They built the Beit HaMikdash. V'hoyol Ahim Kiruv Eloki. They had a closeness with God. U'be'emtza HaMenucha. In middle of that menucha, there in Eretz Yisrael, Haytalahem Golot Yavan. They had Golot Yavan. Atshe Godnu Malchei Beit Chashmonai, until the house of Chashmonai, the kings of the house of Chashmonai became strong. The Nitzchumen were victorious. The Chazru LeMenucha, and they returned to their original rest. Kach Hayah Inyan Yaakov VaAvinu Olav Hashalom. VaYavo, that was the same thing with Yaakov. VaYavo Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov came complete after he has passed from Esav. It says in VaYishla that he came Sholem. Yishchem in Kol Hashleimut by giving Shem Mizbeach, he built the Mizbeach. That what he's taking us through is last week's Sedru, where you see that everything that happens with Yaakov corresponds precisely. If after Paras Umadai, after that Golos and Paras Umadai is Esav, after that it says that he came to Shem and he bought a piece of land and he built the Mizbeach, that corresponds with after Golos, Paras Umadai, Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, they build the Beit HaMikdash, and only afterwards is the peace and the menucha shattered by Dina. And Dina is very precisely Yavan, because the tumah, the impurity and the immorality that Greece wanted to inject into the Jewish people was, there was a horrible gzerah that any girl who is married has to be the first night goes to the local governor. That's Dina. Just like the Zerah of Yavon. She has to be live with the Sap, the Tatsar Tchila. The Tatsar was the local governor. The Nitzchum B'nei Yaakov Mu'otin Es HaMenuvin. B'nei Yaakov who are Mu'otin. Shem was rabim, many in the hands of the few. Temeim b'yat tahodim. The chazru esamul dugmas mitzuach hachashmonim, just like the victory of the chashmonim. The chazru l'menuchatam. Vayeshev b'eretz megurei yodim. And then in this week's sedra, Yaakov lives in the land of his fathers, the tzadikim yoshim b'shalva. And tzadikim live in peace, ad shebishvil sinat chinam, because of sinat chinam. Nimka Yosef was sold into slavery. Ukein Golut Edom. It's like the exile of Edom. What brought down the second Beit HaMikdash? What was Golus Edom? That was Sinat Chinam. Achechazru v'nitkatzu yachad kol hashvatim v'Yaakov Avinu b'roshom, until they were all gathered together, Yaakov Avinu at their head. Dugmat kibbutz galuyot v'hargula ha'atidav v'meheiru v'yameinu amay. Just like the ingathering of the exiles and the redemption that is to come. Last week, Kim Isaacs asked me a question, and he must probably thought that I forgot about the question. For that matter, he must probably forgot about the question. He didn't. Good. I said that in Eretz Yisrael, Jews are not frightened. Jews are strong. In Chutz Lartz, they're weak. And one of the examples that I gave was Avraham Avinu when he's bound by Paro. Chutz Lartz, Sarah is taken forcibly to the house of Paro. So he asked me, what am I going to do with Yitzchak and Avimelech, where Rivka is taken to the house of Avimelech possibly, and that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, you know what Yitzchak represents? Yitzchak represents the idea of Golus in Eretz Yisrael. And if you will recall, we learned the Ksav HaKabbalah a few weeks ago, where the Ksav HaKabbalah says that when Yitzchak called Esav and told him, go out into the field and bring me venison as I like, what day was that? That was the 15th of, it was Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, and that night was going to be the Seder. because Yitzchak saw himself as the beginning of Golos. Because at the Brit Ben Absalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, Ki ger ye ezanach, your children are going to be strangers in a land that doesn't belong to them. And who accepts that upon themselves? Who's the one that's going to be the stranger in a land that's not his? That's Yitzchak, though he's living in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not his land. That's how he sees himself. So that therefore, Golos, Mitzchayim, the 400 years begins with Yitzchak. That's why he had this for Yitzchak. Yitzchak represents the idea of Golos in Eretz Yisrael. So what we're saying is the following. I have not yet in any way completed what I really began. What I began was the idea of, well, why are we now perceived as not as strong as we were? And one of the things that I present is the idea that, listen, there is such a thing as Golos in Eretz Yisrael. There is such a thing as us being weak in Eretz Yisrael, and that was Hanukkah. Hanukkah was, for all intents and purposes, that which ended and completed that period. But the possibility does exist. The possibility does exist. But the Jew in Eretz Yisrael, different than the Jew in Chutz La'aretz, will ultimately regain his strength. The Jew in Chutz La'aretz never regains strength that he never had in Chutz La'aretz. We can go through a period of weakness, but from the period of weakness we ultimately rise. That's the whole story of Yavon. Following Dina, if you read the Pesukim over there, you will see a rededication of Klal Yisrael, a removal of all that which is not sacred, anything that is defiling. So this is one approach. I say there may be other approaches. I don't know what the answers are. All that I can say is that I'm troubled. And as I'm troubled, sometimes I think too much and I get depressed. Then again, regardless of whatever we're going to say, people of course have to look into themselves and see, well, to what extent can we assist and help? We're going through a difficult period. There's no question about it. We're going through a very difficult period. We're going through a Yavon-like period. And what we need are Chashmonaim. And we have to understand something else. I said it before, I want to say it again. You have to understand that every piece of Eretz Yisrael that is given away has the halacha, the din of Golos. So don't think that there is no such thing as Golos in Eretz Yisrael. There is Golos in Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what it is. I remember hearing this from Rabbi Avraham Shapira. He started, got angry with somebody with Sibyl, and he says, any piece of land that's given away, this is a din of Golos. That's what it is. But a din of Golos is Hanukkah. That's Yavon. That's Dina, which ultimately comes the Nitzachon of Malkut Beit Hashmonai. Let me just close by saying, I have not exhausted this topic at all. But in Yitzhak Hashem, listen, meanwhile we just have to get ready for the great visit of Clinton this week. How many people want to stand out on the Yerushalayim Road with me with signs, Clinton, go home? Nobody wants to stay with me? No, I think my wife is ready. Yeah, she's ready to stand with me out there. And maybe I'll even light the first Hanukkah candle in Migras HaRusim. I think they have Clinton planned to light the first Hanukkah candle where? In Aza? I don't know. Where? Beth HaNasev. Yeah. Aza Mitzvah Man Salim. Okay. Anyway, next week, no class. You should have Hanukkah Sameach for all of you in Klal Yisrael. Yes.